Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother,
what's up?
This is a two-bit party, man.
Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate.
Good morning. You are on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And on this beautiful, wonderful Monday morning on July the 11th, 2022, there is a whole lot going on as far as civil rights issues are concerned. And I wore my civil rights hat today because I want to make sure that we are focused on civil rights, human rights, constitutional rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And I want to talk to you about some very, very important topics this morning. But before I get started with the important topics, I hope you all had a wonderful weekend. I hope you gave God some time, and I hope you've been sending your prayers up to God, because God hears all your prayers. He knows your heart. He knows your coming and your going, your do's and don'ts, and your wills and won'ts. And we have some, you know, our world right now is in need of prayer, and love is in need of love today. We are definitely in need of some prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to those who are listening to the show from wherever you are in the United States of America, and for those who listen to the show from wherever you are around the whole world. Good morning, Felita Wilkes. How are you? Good morning. God bless you, Felita Wilkes. It's an honor and a pleasure to have you on. We are going to have an exclusive special guest this morning, our exclusive special guest this morning. First of all, I know you guys heard about this. This is not a secret anymore. It's all over the map. But we're going to talk about Emmett Till. You know, Dunham, the lady Dunham, that's the one who lied on Emmett Till and said that he was flirting with her. And she, yes, hallelujah, she said that that Emmett Till was flirting with her. So this happened back in 1955. Now, I know you probably know by now, and for those who don't know, you are finding out right now that the arrest warrant in the LaFleur, Mississippi jail courthouse, they were under the courthouse searching out things and, you know, cleaning it all out, and guess what they found? They found an arrest warrant for Mrs. Dunham. That's right, the lady who accused Emmett Till of flirting with her, which actually led to him being beat to death, castrated, shot, and hung, okay? They made him suffer. Now, I'm not God, and it's not up to me to say whether she should suffer or not, but that arrest warrant has never been served for over 67 years. 67 years later, this is what kind of God we serve. This is what kind of God we serve. This is a civil rights issue. It was a civil rights case. It was a young African-American young man who came to visit his family in Chicago and was out having fun with his friends and was accused of flirting with a white woman who stuck to that lie until his death and even to the day. And she's 88 years old now. She's still alive, still living in Mississippi. And I personally, this is my opinion, I feel like she should pay, okay? I feel like they should take the arrest warrant. And it's already activated. It was never served. It's an original envelope that it was in the original documentation signed by the judge and everything else that was hidden up under the courtroom for all this time. Well, our super duper special guest today will be the Senator, Senator David Jordan, who's over the 24th. He represents the 24th district, which is Greenwood, Mississippi, and I want to tell you a little bit about his history. I've been to his house. I've been on his radio show. I did the Juneteenth parade in Mississippi. Senator Jordan introduced me to his family. He showed me his pictures on the wall with the President of the United States, all the government. He's been a senator since 1993. He's been the senator of that district, and he still is to this day, and he is going to be our exclusive special guest this morning on our show to talk about the Emmett Till case. Now, there's no way in God's green earth, and it just goes to show you how the devil was working. They hid the arrest warrant up under the courthouse for 67 years. Now, the Till family are on fire right now about getting this woman arrested. The community is on fire about getting this woman arrested. I am on fire. This is a civil rights violation that shouldn't have never taken place, but it did. And I don't know if you guys are able to read the story about Emmett Till or see the movie about Emmett Till, but it had me in chills the whole movie watching the stuff that the mother went through. She was an amazing mother. She worked with the NAACP and other African-American organizations to get justice for her son. She also, as you know, and I'm getting the Holy Ghost chills, she had an open casket funeral viewing so that everyone and people came from all over to see Emmett Till's body, to see how he was beat. And they found him in a river where they threw him. And those two men, I don't even want to say their names because they're not worthy of it, beat him to his death, castrated him from different parts of his body, And they did some terrible things to him. Good morning. Good morning, Wanda Long. Good morning. Thank you for the heart. Yes, thank you so much. And it's just, you know, I feel like justice needs to be served in this case. If you want to call into our show, and you can call in and listen to the show or make a topic or make a statement, dial 646-787-8064. 646-787-8064. Now, if you want to listen online, you go to blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com. And on the search, you put Eddie Jones Jr. _ Productions, Eddie Jones Jr. _ Productions. Now, before we get deeper into the ride, oh, yeah, by the way, and for those who are on Facebook Live, good morning, Minister Moni Scott, good morning. We're talking about a very, this topic is deeper than the ocean, higher than the mountain, and swifter than the rivers. We are talking about civil rights right now on the Civil Rights Talk Show. We're talking about what happened to Emmett Till, and we're talking about the arrest warrant that they found up under the courthouse, and it's been under there for 67 years. 67 years. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I can't believe this, but you can't hide anything from God. And when something is supposed to be found, it will be found. Now, it's not a coincidence. I call it divine intervention and divine appointment. It was divine intervention and a divine appointment. And they said that when they found the arrest warrant, that they got emotional and they all started crying in the room. They all started crying because they found that document and they read it and they realized the enormity of it, the giganticness of it, and they just became emotional and just started crying. So without further ado, before we get the senator on the phone, Senator Jordan Davis, Jordan on the phone, I want to get in our special guest, I want to get in our co-host right now, one of our co-producers, Clarence M. Allen. I'm so excited about what we're going to be talking about. I'm just a little, just to know that they found the arrest warrant up under the courthouse 67 years later goes to show you that God is in the miracle working business. Because it is, hey, Gloria Majors, good morning, Gloria Majors. It is a miracle and a blessing for that to happen. What's up, Sheila Timberlake? Good morning, good morning. And everybody, hallelujah, good morning, good morning. Hey, praise God. So let's get Clarence M. Allen, our co-producer in the studio. Good morning, Clarence M. Allen. What's going on, brother? What's going on?
I know some places and I see some faces. I got good connections, baby. My direction, what people say, that's okay. They don't bother me because I'm ready to make it. Don't get by no weather. Don't get by no trouble. Got myself together. We're going to be live on the Eddie Justice Jones radio show. We're coming hard this morning. Good morning to all our guests, all our special guests, to our listeners, the co-panel. Thank God. Glory to God. Thank you for waking us up this morning, giving us another wonderful, beautiful day. We thank you for Pastor Eddie, who represents this show every Monday morning with the hot topics. Pastor Eddie, I'm buckled down. I'm ready to roll.
Amen. Praise God, brother. My brother Clarence M. Allen, yes, we're going to roll, and we're rolling hard today. Let's get the limo warmed up because we got some riding to do today. And without further ado, let's bring in our co-producer, Professor Reams. Good morning, Professor Reams. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning, Professor Reams?
Good morning, Pastor Jones. Good morning, the regulator. And that wonderful, wonderful introduction you gave. Everyone, as you've just heard from both, get ready, strap on. This is going to be a ride. The limo's ready for you. And we hope that you'll gain some insight, but also be reminded how God works as he's working every day. And that I say good morning, good morning, good morning to the best Blog Talk radio show in the nation. Start your Monday off right, and let's move forward and look forward to the information and the intelligence and that we're going to receive from the show. So, good morning, everyone.
Yeah. Hey, Brother Clarence.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Oh, regulator.
Well, I can't believe, can you gentlemen believe that 67 years later, a warrant arrest has been found under the courthouse in LaFleur County, which is Greenwood, Mississippi. I just want to get you, how do you feel, Clarence, about that? How do you feel? Brother Clarence, are you there? Okay. Professor Reams, are you
yes,
there?
Yes, sir, Pastor Eddie.
Yes, I'm
okay,
here.
Go right here, Brother Clarence. Just in a short sentence, how do you feel about the arrest warrant for Emmett Till's killer, Mrs. Dunham, being found under the court 67 years later? How do you feel about that, Brother Clarence?
Well, they're two different states of mind. I'm elated that this arrest warrant has finally come to light. But yet again, I'm so disappointed in the atrocities that America continues to commit upon us, especially as being black. You know, it is an atrocity. Not only she needs to be arrested, that sheriff, his son, the grandkids, all of them need to be thrown and locked away, because these kind of habits and their habitats get passed down through their generations.
Amen, amen. Professor Reams, without further ado, just in a short sentence, how do you feel about the arrest warrant being found 67 years later under the courthouse, hidden by the Klans and whoever else was involved in this whole conspiracy to kill Emmett Till? Go right ahead.
Yes. And I agree with Clarence, the regulator, but also with your early statement that the truth will always come out, and God, you cannot hide from God. And so I'm always elated when the Father reveals things to us that they've tried to hide. No different with Tulsa and finding those mass graves. It doesn't surprise me, but this is just how things are in this country. So I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Well, without further ado, I want to get a special guest in the studio, Senator David Jordan, representative of the 24th District of LaFleur County, Greenwood, Mississippi. Let's see if we can get him on the line right now. We are calling him. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show. Okay, let's see. All right. There was no answer there. Let's see. Cancel. Okay, we're going to try again, because he told me that he was on his way to the Capitol as we were speaking this morning. So he said his cell phone, depends on where he is, his cell phone might not be working properly. So let me try him again. Let's try him again. Okay, you're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. We're going to get the senator on in a minute. Let's see here. Okay. He said he would be traveling this morning to the Capitol, but we're going to get our guest on. But meanwhile, while we're waiting on that to happen.
Hello?
Good morning, good morning.
Hello?
Good morning. Hello, yes. Can
yes,
you
sir.
Hear me, Senator? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I'm not into Jackson yet, but I hear you loud and clear.
Well, first of all, Senator David Jordan, we want to welcome you to the show. Clarence M. Allen is our co-producer, and Professor Reams is our co-producer. Please say good morning to Senator David Jordan over LaFleur County, Mississippi, Greenwood, Mississippi. Say good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Senator David.
Good morning.
Welcome to the show.
It's an honor to have you on. Yes.
Good morning. It's good to be on air in California.
Amen, amen. Praise God. We are honored to have you on. We know that, you know, like when I was there in Mississippi, there in Greenwood with you, you invited me on your radio
yes.
show. You took me to the Emmett Till Highway. You took me to the Emmett Till apartments and all over where you have worked diligently in LaFleur, Mississippi since 1993 as a senator there. Could you give us a little bit of history, if you don't mind, Senator Jordan?
Yes, I'm the youngest son of a group of my father and mother, Cleveland Jordan. I'm the youngest of five children. All of them are deceased. They just buried my sister 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, and I'm the only one left. And I'm the son of a sharecropper. But I've been successful. I consider to be successful. Chris, my wife and I have been married 67 years. And we have four children. We have a daughter in Texas, and we have a son in California, Oakland, and we have a son in Austin, and we have a son in Nashville. And out of our four children, two of them are doctors. One is a pharmacist in Texas. The other one is a pharmacist. My grandson is a pharmacist in Nashville. And my youngest son is a pulmonologist in Nashville. My wife and I were both science teachers. I'm a graduate of Mississippi Valley State University way back when the Ibbot Till trial came on. And I'm a graduate of the University of Wyoming in Laramie. That's very strange, but at that time they were giving all science students across the United States scholarship when the Russians put the Sputnik up there. So I got in on that program. I've also attended Kent State College of Pittsburgh and Dillard University, New Orleans, and the University of Texas since I've gotten a master's degree in chemistry. I'm also 33 years in the classroom. I've taught 33 years, and I've served as a city councilman on the city council in Greenwood after I sued them for blacks to get on the city council. I wanted the first elected. And since I retired last year from that, I ran for the Senate in 92, the Senate seat until now. So I taught 33 years, stayed on the City Council in Greenwood 36 years, and been in the Senate 29 years. I should be 100 years old, but I did some of those things simultaneously. So I sued everybody I had to in order to make life for better for young black Americans in my area. By my being the son of a sharecropper, I've seen blacks beaten and kicked, and I swore that if I ever lived, I was going to try to do something about it. So if I wanted to make money today, I'd make money by doing nothing. But I just go on. And sorry, because I can see a need for, if nothing else, but the experience and the training I've gone through. You can look on your cell phone and look on the Mississippi Writers, and you'll see David L. Jordan. I've written a book, From the Cotton Field to the State Senate, a memoir.
Amen.
Okay?
I remember so, that.
On
I
your
remember
cell phone. On the, yes, sir.
No, go
on the Mississippi
go
Writers.
Here,
but let's get to the point. Where we are now, I met Rosa Parks in 1988 in Atlanta, Georgia. She was there when Jesse Jackson was running and Jimmy Carter, I think, no, the person after Jimmy Carter running for president of the United States. But I met her when Jesse Jackson was running, and she said to a room full of us in Atlanta, she said this, and you've heard it probably many times. She said, the reason I didn't give up my seat on the bus, I was thinking about Emmett Till.
Mm.
And in that room, I was a witness to the trial along with three other classmates, schoolmates, rather. Some of them was grades higher than I was. But it was my brother.
Senator Jordan, I want everybody to know,
yes,
you're talking about the Emmett Till trial. You were a witness. You witnessed the Emmett Till trial, right?
Yes, sir. I went to Emmett Till trial in 55, August the 28th. That's when I finished high school in 55. and I was entering the college, and they asked us to give a report on the Emmett Till trial. So gasoline at that time was 25 cents a gallon, so I had a little job washing dishes at the Holiday Inn and going to college and coming to work after I left the college. So therefore, I was off that day, and I had a dollar, and I paid for my brother and I and the car owner, let the other guy ride free. So all four of us headed for Sumner, Mississippi. And when we arrived there, we had these little freshman caps on, which are called beanies, I think they call them from Valley. And we put those in our back pocket, and we stood on the outside for a while. When we stood on the outside for a while, there were reporters were out there. And a car drove up with a very attractive woman in it. That was Emmett Till's mother. And she had with her a well-dressed young man at that time. And the reporter said, "I see Mamie Till coming. So I'm going to ask her some questions. Can you still hear me?"
"Yes, hello? I can hear you loud and clear."
"Okay. And then they asked her, do you think Emmett Till will get a fair trial in Mississippi?" She said, "No." She said, "I don't know. I came here just to be a witness. Do you think he'll get a fair trial?" To ask her question, she said, "I'm here to be a witness." And then she said, "By the way, I have with me Congressman Charles Diggs all the way from Detroit." And the guy said, "I didn't know we had any black," that's a decent word for it, "congressman." Well, everybody knew, like myself, knew a little history, knew Adam Clayton Powell was the first one, but I had never heard of Charles Diggs of Detroit. But he accomplished her, and they asked him, "Why are you down here? What do you got to do with this case in Chicago?" So he finally talked to him and said that he was down to assist Mrs. Till. And then they went in, and we went in a distance behind them. And when we went in, a person from Greenwood who handled the body was too bad a shape for Tutwiler, up in Tallahatchie County, to do it, so it had to come to Greenwood. Greenwood had to make a large box, a rectangular-shaped box, to put the body in so that it could be shipped to Chicago because she wanted to display it. I got a picture of that body somewhere in my office drawer. It's a monster what it really is, if you've seen pictures of Emmett Till's body after he had been in water for about 3 days.
Yes.
So that's why when we went back to school, we went there and we heard at recess, the mortician, the funeral home director, not the mortician, was on the stand because they questioned him. And he saw us, he knew us, but he was so afraid, and his shirts were wet, and just like somebody had poured a pail of water down on his head. And by the way, that was my first time in court. I didn't know anything about cross-examination. They were questioning him from one side to the other. And all he was saying, "Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, ma'am." So when recess came, everybody had recess, and we just sat there. And then some of J.W. Amala and Aurora Bryant's people brought up there, and his wife brought Coca-Colas there. They didn't have canned Coca-Colas then, just had bottles. And everybody was laughing. The jurors were laughing. No one was serious about it. No one was serious. It was just a process, in our opinion, that they were going through. And then we came back the next day, and we told it at Valley. And nobody hardly believed us, but after we told it so strict, they believed it and were very remorse over it. A month later, since they were acquitted, then the sheriff made a big speech the next day. he said this. I guess the NAACP and the Chicago niggas are satisfied now that they had acquitted him. And a month later, or less, they sold our story to Look magazine for $4,000. Now, there I was, a freshman in college, and had seen all of this. And then there came in a year or so later, the Little Rock case and all these other cases. And I just decided, even though I was a teacher, I was teaching at Indianola, the white power structure didn't know where I was teaching, so I could attend all of the civil rights meetings in Greenwood. We're 30 miles from Indianola. So I attended every meeting. In fact, Meg Evers came up investigating that case, and as a result, a guy from Greenwood killed Meg Evers, assassinated Meg Evers in Jackson, because he learned Meg Evers from, in my opinion, from coming up investigating that case, the Emmett Till case.
Wow. So wait a minute. Hold that thought. I want to get this clear and clarified. The statement that you just made, Senator David Jordan, is that Medgar Evers, the civil rights activist and leader, was murdered because he came to analyze and evaluate and investigate the case of Emmett Till.
I believe that, because there's no way this guy could have known who he was had he not come up and investigated the Emmett Till case. Because at the same time, Dr. Aaron Henry and Megan Evers are making trips into Greenwood trying to find out more about what happened with the Emmett Till case. Aaron Henry and Megan Evers. So, in my opinion, somebody, that person who killed him was from Greenwood, named Bondele Beckworth. I knew him from a boy when I worked at a little place before I entered the Greenwood school. I lived in the country, and he used to come out there all the time, and I knew him just like I knew everybody else, because he came to Maloof's store, and I knew who he was when I saw his picture in the paper. Now, what did he know about Meg Evers? Somebody tracked him down, because all the people in Greenwood were against. They said that Bryant and J.W. Marlin, the Caucasian folks, said that he did the right thing for what he did. So they was right. And at that time, the Citizen Council was organized in that area as well.
The Citizen Council.
In fact, when I went to the Senate and retired, they unfolded. The state was funding the city council. $60,000 with state funds were given to fund the Citizen Council. So when we entered there in 92, they opened up the files. And believe it or not, all teachers' names was on those files, because if you participate in civil rights, then they would fire you. And when I had my first contract, I was questioned, did I belong to the NAACP or any other civil rights group? Of course, you know the answer was no, but I was just heading the Greenwood Voters League. But they didn't. So it was, the Citizen Council was very powerful. And Bondele Beckwith, here from the Delta, was working with him.
Wow.
And that's how he learned Meg Evers.
And so now the Beckwith that murdered Meg Evers, was he arrested and tried and put in prison?
Yes, he was. He was arrested. And he died in prison.
They made a move out of it
since I've been in the Senate in 1993, I believe. We saw it. That's when they opened all the files. They made a movie.
Yes, I saw that movie. And it was so unfortunate.
Yeah, Whoopi Goldberg.
I apologize for interrupting you, but it was so sad that Medgar Evers was shot in the back as he was getting out of the vehicle to go in the house to his wife and his children. And I'm sure his children will never forget that scene, and his wife. And, of course, the community would never forget that scene. But Senator David Jordan, representative of the 24th District since 1993, it's an honor and a pleasure to have you on. Again, I want people to know you fought to put the Emmett Till Highway there. I still have the pictures of the Emmett Till sign when I was riding with you and you took me around to see it. You had the Emmett Till complex. I'm sorry, go right ahead, Senator. Go ahead.
What I've got, the states have given me money to build a monument. I have a 9-foot statue in Greenwood. Will be sometime this late summer or this fall. They're already building this. Strange enough, they're building in right out west.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be 9 feet tall. It's a bronze statue that's going to be up in Greenwood. I got the federal, mm-hmm. I got a bill passed and the state financed it for me. So it's being built now in Utah.
Now, Senator, I remember when you told me that was going to transpire when I was out there. But also, too, really quick, I don't want to get off the subject. I want to stay on Emmett Till. But I do want to talk about when you brought me to your house and when you were running for senator or running for office, you said that some Caucasian males came by and shot at your house. Could you share that story really quick with the listeners?
Well, yeah, my home have bullet holes in it now where somebody came by and shot through the living room and shot through my wife's car. All those pictures in the book, and those holes are still there. I got them covered, but they're still holes. You can drive by now and you see the bullet holes. Not only that, they've torn up. They ran into my house one time. I was so active in civil rights. They ran into my house and tore up my carport. A black man said that he ran off the road, but the politics showed me that somebody had him to do it. So I've had many attacks there
mm-hmm.
in my home. But through it all, I've been able to live through it. And right now, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, I'm going to retire and get out of here. If I wanted to make money, I'd do nothing. It's not about money. It's about my background and what I was brought up to do and how successful I've been in lawsuits on behalf of black folks and poor whites
Amen.
As well. I sued
now,
everybody
now,
I had to. Yeah.
Now,
but
Senator,
in the Till case, yes, sir.
Now, I want to ask you this question. 67
yes,
years later, Senator Jordan, 67 years later, almost 70 years later, up under the courthouse in LaFleur, Mississippi, in Greenwood, they found that document, that warrant for Mrs. Donham's arrest. She's alive. She's 88 years old. I personally feel like she should be arrested. The warrant should still be in effect, and she should still be arrested. But I want to get your take on how do you feel about how God – see, God, we serve a mighty God. And out of all these years, they hid that. They hid it up under the court, and it's been found 67 years later. How do you feel about that, Senator Jordan? That happened in your town where you are the senator. How do you feel about it, and what are you doing?
Well, the point is this. A couple of lawyers, all of us – let me say this. All of us – got in office on the back of Emmett Till. I don't care what anybody say, indirectly, based on what Rosa Parks said about her not sitting down. Then that got Dr. King involved, and Dr. King worked with Lyndon Baines Johnson, got a voting rights bill passed. So even the black person who said the case is closed got in office because on the back of Emmett Till. All of us. Every Negro in Mississippi is on the backs of Emmett Till because before then wasn't any blacks holding any kind of office in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
So now, under the Lindbergh Law, kidnapping,
yes,
for closure for the family, that's where,
yes,
we are now.
Hallelujah.
You can be arrested under the Lindbergh Law. And that's, and
amen,
I know the sheriff of this county, of Lee Florida County, said, well, the case is closed. But we're talking about the Lindbergh Law and the kidnapping part that,
yes,
was left. They did not get her for the kidnapping or any of the,
no,
others. But the others are deceased. Now, as far as justice, the wheels of the mills turn slow, but they grind exceedingly fine. You're right. God is a just God. And the,
oh,
process, yeah, has been turned around. God has fixed it. So in my county, the only thing white in the courthouse are the walls. Everybody else up there black. And the period we're talking about, it was all just the opposite.
Amen, amen.
So now, so we're in charge. The question is, are we going to have closure to this case? It should be. And what we legislators going to do, every black legislator, according to the report, I'm just waiting on the date, is going to have a press conference in Greenwood and say that we got elected on the back and encourage this district attorney to call for closure on this case.
Now I want to ask you, Senator, and I'm quite sure the rest of your colleagues probably feel the same way. We have been fighting for justice. We have been fighting for civil, constitutional, and human rights for years, and you have done everything in your power to be a great, amazing councilman, an amazing senator, an amazing civil rights leader, not only in Mississippi but all over. And you have been serving the United States of America since 1993 and probably even before that. But do you feel like she will be arrested and charged for her hand in the murder of Emmett Till? I want to get your opinion, Senator.
It depends on what the DA does, because Mississippi law, in order to get closure, and she's the only one alive, that would need to be done. But it's the DA is the one that have to bring those charges.
Mm.
And he's saying the case is closed, but he's on the murder side, and we're talking about the kidnapping part. So
I understand.
I heard yesterday that there's a petition going around, and young Afro-Americans are disturbed by this, and they're petitioning now to get him out of office. Of course, next year's election.
Right. Now, there's another petition going around, too, and I'm trying to find it. It was sent to me, and I can't find it right now, but if I can find it during the show, I will. There's a petition going around saying that they want to get Mrs. Dunham arrested and have her brought to justice for the role that she played in the murder of Emmett Till. I've been getting phone calls all day yesterday. Once the show went out, people were calling me. I mean, I had people calling me like back to back. Are they going to arrest this woman? Will they take this woman in, you know, and will we get justice? And I mean, this, the whole world's eyes are on this. Good morning, Evangelist Virginia Valentine. Good morning, hallelujah, Minister Moni Scott. Good morning to James, Brother James Hudson out there in Texas. Good morning to Eva Jackson. Good morning, Eva Jackson. Yes, peace and blessings to you too. Good morning, Sister Senior. How are you this morning, Senior? Good morning, Pastor E. What's up, Pastor E. Hamilton? How you doing, brother? Peace be with you. Irma Lovable Jones, my cousin. Hey, what's going on with you on Facebook Live? Everybody on Facebook Live, God bless you, Brother Clarence M. Allen, and everybody on Facebook Live, God bless you. Our exclusive special guest today is none other than Senator David Jordan from Greenwood, Mississippi, who's been fighting for justice and equality since day one, he sued many people in order for justice to be served, in order for change to take place, in order for African Americans to be able to do. What's up, Kenny Gatewood? My brother, Kenny Gatewood, Dorsey High in the house. God bless you, Brother Kenny. We have our exclusive special guest, Senator David Jordan, who has been fighting for justice and equality for many, many years. And like he said, if he wanted to make money, he could just sit down and make money. But instead, he is still on the battlefield for justice and equality and civil and constitutional and human rights. Senator, it's such an honor to have you on this morning. I have a caller in the 832 area code. Hold on, Senator, don't go anywhere. We're talking about the Emmett Till case right now. Caller in the 832, wait, let me get this right. Caller in the 832-880, are you there?
Hello, my brother. How you doing? This is Brother James Hudson.
Oh, Brother James Hudson.
Hello, how are you?
Everybody say good morning to James Hudson from Texas.
Good morning, Mr. Hudson.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just decided to pick up the phone and call you because I was trying to make comments on Facebook and my whole internet went down. That's those boys watching everything that you're doing over there. You can always tell when you're doing a good thing because people try to interrupt your service. So, but you know, God's got love, they can't stop the Spirit of God. That's the good thing. So I just basically wanted to say, man, this was a great conversation that I was hearing up from the senator, man. And he's doing a great work for so many years. And I just thank God for his life, what he's been able to do and working on behalf of the people of really society as a whole. So the Emmett Till story, I've heard about it so many different times from so many different ways. Such a tragic, and we're still dealing with those stories almost, you know, every other day. It seems like we're hearing the story. It's not like the Emmett Till, but it's still suffering of our people. So my statement today is what I've been seeing all through Black History Time, you know, freedom is not free. And, you know, you had to fight to get freedom, and you're going to have to fight to keep it because, boy, I tell you, these people are on a warpath, and we need to wake up. As a whole, as Black people as a whole, and especially our young people, they've got to wake up so they can see what's coming because these people are not playing, man. They really and truly are not. There are so many of them that would love to see us go back to those days in the 60s and the 50s and all that. And if we don't stop them, that's exactly where you're going to find yourself. So I'm glad that you guys are doing the work that you're doing. Brother Eddie Jones and so many people all throughout you know the country here that are really waking up to see, man, you know, we've got to put our boxing gloves on. These people are not playing. They're hacking and everything that we've got from our phones to Facebook to everything. They're monitoring everything that you say, you know, trying to disrupt everything that you're doing. So you just got to keep that. That just makes me more motivated to fight even harder. So God bless you guys for what you're doing and the senator for what he's doing and the work that they're doing. I hope to one day to get down there to see that statue. I know that it's going to be an awesome time event when that takes place. So you guys just keep doing what you're doing and God bless you.
Senator, would you like to respond to what Mr. Hudson said? To Mr. James Hudson?
We appreciate Mr. Hudson asking to pray for us, but we're going to do the best we can under the circumstance. Born and reared here in Mississippi and in the Mississippi Delta, two famous things we've had here, and that's the blues, and sadly to say, but the whole world came to our rescue with the Emmett Till case. It's an international case, and I've been in deaf in the Delta. I was in that film, and also the untold story of Emmett Till. I've been in several documentaries from all over the world, even in England, on this particular case. So, you know, God is a just God, and why this statue so important? Let me say something on the statue. Why it's so important? When Joshua got to the Red Sea and they got ready to go cross, and then the water passed back and let them cross, and Moses, then Joshua said, well, get these stones from the bottom of the sea so generations come will ask, what are these stones? And then you can tell them what the Lord had done for them. So the same thing with the Emmett Till case, 50 years, 100 years, somebody come by and say, what's the meaning of this statue? You can tell it, this was a person who all black elected officials in Mississippi and other places stand on the shoulder of this man because he was lynched at 14.
Senator, that story alone there and all the work that you've done, you know, to create the Emmett Till Highway, that big sign that says the Emmett Till Highway, that was put into legislation. You did that. You did the Emmett Till apartment complexes over there that you showed me, which the big complexes off the road there. I want to be there, Senator. I would like to be there at the unveiling of the statue.
Yes.
So can we work that out?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We can work it out and just stay in touch with me. You got my numbers, and I intend to have a parade and everything when that happens. So I talked to the villas of the...
Senator, I apologize. The last time I was there for the Juneteenth parade, that's when I was with you. So I'll be honored beyond words to participate in this Emmett Till parade as far as civil rights are concerned, because it is that time. And what an amazing, death-defying feat to put a statue there in Mississippi that will be there for the rest of time to tell a story that still has not been completely told. But you're part of that story. You're part of where it all happened. And you're part of the change. So we commend you. And Clarence and Professor Reams, can we all just give a big hand for Senator David Jordan right now for the hard work that he's still doing. Amen.
Thank you. And I can't tell you how much I love and respect you all, even though we're 1,000 miles away. But there's one common goal, is that God is a just God, and we are going to overcome. But what I'm saying here, those of us in charge, do our duty. You didn't just get there. You didn't get there for yourself. You get there trying to help, should be, to help those less fortunate African-Americans who watered this land with their tears and made it rich with their bones in the deep South. And I happen to be a native of the South who God has allowed to live, to do the things that, to at least expose the things that are needed. But the wheels of the mill turn slow, but they grind exceedingly fine. God is a just God. So
amen.
I'm not worried about us not getting justice. I just want us, once we get in position, don't just be there sitting there and looking important. Think about
right.
The ones who send you there and made it possible for you to be there.
Okay,
so I love
Senator,
you all and respect you. Yes, sir.
Senator, before you go, our co-producer, Clarence M. Allen, and our co-producer, Professor Reams, they either have a question or a statement for you. So without further ado, Clarence M. Allen, take the floor. Do you have a question or a statement for Senator David Jordan?
Yes, a little bit of both. But first of all, once again, God bless you. God keep you. We thank you for, you know, making time, your very important time, to come aboard this show, the Eddie Jones Radio Blog Talk Show. I watched a couple of the documentaries earlier in the year, Women of the Movement and the other one about the Emmett Till situation. And then I seen earlier in the year where the thing like the FBI had closed the case. So will this document that was found for the search warrant for the arrest of the lady that instigated Emmett Till's murder, will this bring the feds in? And then you mentioned the Lindbergh Law. Will that also be energy for the federal government, the federal Justice Department, to come in and take control of this case?
I think, yes, sir, I think so. I'm not an attorney, but the attorneys who dealing with it would know this. I'm sure they're going to use the Lindbergh Law because this is about kidnapping. But what happened was when J.W. Meyer and Roy Bryant died, the federal government just closed that part of the case. But what about the kidnapping part? She was involved with the kidnapping part, and all the families asking them to bring her out so they can get closure. The Lindbergh law and in Mississippi law as well, you can't close a case unless when one of the witnesses of what happened is still alive without ever questioning that witness. So that's in Mississippi law.
Mm.
I'm sure the attorneys will dig into all of that.
Yes, and if
that's
I can
a Mississippi statute.
If I can say this to all of our listeners who may have never heard of the Lindbergh Law, it was created in 1932 from a child who was kidnapped by that last name, and the kidnappers crossed the state line. They found the child had been dead for several months, was crushed, a hole in the head, and so this law was implemented. And so this law has a lot of variance with this Emmett Till case. So thank you for mentioning that. Thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for sharing all the knowledge, all of your work and everything. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
And Senator, without further ado, we have a professor on our show who is a real professor, and it's an honor and a pleasure. Without further ado, co-producer Professor Reams, we have a question or a statement for Senator David Jordan.
Pastor Jones. Senator, thank you. Bless you for everything that you've been doing and your trials and tribulations that have been occurring. I share a little family lineage where my family originated on my mother's side in Sledge, Mississippi. They were sharecroppers.
Yes.
And then they definitely had to move out of there because there was the swampland where if the babies were there, then they would end up disappearing and never coming back. And it was just horrific. So my grandfather made sure to move everyone to the big city of Memphis, Tennessee. We kind of joke about that, but the so thank you. And the one thing that I've known is that within Mississippi, it said with the state that statutes of limit, there is no statutes of limitation dealing with the crimes and kidnapping overall, even though they say that it's been handled. And so since she was never charged. There, she could be charged for both murder and kidnapping, or even under felony murder law, connecting both together. So my question to you is, and you probably mentioned it, but why do you think that the district attorney is having difficulty or reluctant to do the right thing when they've got the evidence and it's a slam dunk?
Mm-hmm.
He's African. He's a young African-American. In fact, I think I may have taught his father way back. My first teaching job was in Indianola in 59. And I think it may be some basic fear there that he doesn't want to fool with it. But the people need it, and people are circulating a petition now to get rid of him now. And certainly if he runs next year, which is the election, it's going to be difficult for him to explain it and win. And I doubt if he could win. So his whole, in my opinion, his whole position is in jeopardy as far as him, he is concerned. Because this is so significant over the last three scores and seven, 67 years ago.
Wow.
To every... And he's standing on his shoulder. I'm being redundant. He's standing on the shoulder of Emmett Till himself. There wasn't any blacks elected to anything before then.
Wow.
Even a monkey with an iron head would be able to see that. None of us were elected before the Emmett Till case.
Wow.
That is the irony is. So thank you. I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Senator, I don't know how much more time you have left how much more time do you have left, Senator, before you have to go? Because I know you're at the Capitol.
Well, I'm at the Capitol. I'm still in my vehicle. I still got to go in the office and do a little work at the state Capitol here in Mississippi. But I have a few more minutes.
Okay, Well, I'm going to go back to James Hudson. James, are you still with us, James?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Did you have a question or a statement for Senator David Jordan? Go right ahead.
Yeah, so I didn't get how many years you actually had been a senator. I know it's been quite some time. I think I missed that because that's when my Facebook page was going out when you were talking about how many years has a senator been in office?
This coming
as a senator.
30 years.
Oh my God. Okay, 30 years.
30 years.
Wow.
33 years in the classroom, 36 on the city council, and 30 in the Mississippi Senate. Son of a sharecropper.
Whoa. And did you just say that the DA that was over that in that county was a black DA?
I think I taught his father. Yes, sir. He's a black DA.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And so like the professor was saying, so you think it's because of the pressure that's behind that, and, you know, trying to walk that fine line between those black votes and the white votes as far as him not just stepping forward, doing what he knows that the black community would have him to do?
Sir, he's in a black majority district. That's the only reason he's there. That's the only way
so
he could have gotten there. He doesn't have to depend on anybody else votes. He's in a black majority district, 75%.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's what I was wondering. How well did he get to be a DA? It's a predominantly
right.
black district.
Yes,
oh,
sir.
Wow.
That's the only way I got elected. That's the only way I got elected.
And you would think that he would do like these other politicians would do and cater to his base and cater to the people that put him there. So that's why I'm kind of in awe too. Why is it when we get the power to do the things that we've been wanting to do, the reason why we go stand in lines for people for 2 and 3 hours to vote, hoping that they're going to listen to our voices, and then they don't do it. And that's, you know, I could say that not only just in this case or even with the presidency or whatever, you know, as Democrats, we are expecting certain things from a majority in Congress, and then they don't deliver because you have one or two people that I guess just go off board or something. But it's very disheartening to find out that you've got in a district like that with that many of your constituents.
Let me say this. This district could cover three counties. LaFleur, Sunflower, and Washington. Washington County Courthouse and everything, the only thing Caucasian in there are the walls. 90% of the elected officials in Washington County are Afro-Americans. 90% of the elected officials in Sunflower County, Afro-American. 90% of the workers, the elected officials in my county in the courthouse, are Afro-Americans.
Wow.
So, what in the world other than fear that he would want to handle this case? Well, we're the one he elected him. That's why he's going to get rid of him if he doesn't.
Amen.
But the public is trying to help him.
Well, you know, the sad thing is they run off of saying, you know, they have all this integrity and they've got all the courage to do what's right. And then once they get in the position, it's like, you know, I don't know if they're getting paid off or what's going on. Like you said, I mean, what's stopping them if you've got 90%? I mean, I don't know.
I was born and reared in the deep South. And a lot of people talk big, but they run for the tall grass when it requires action.
Exactly.
You don't. You get in a lot of trouble standing up for principles that are right. But it's good trouble, John Lewis has said in his days.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to fight for good trouble. So ain't no point in saying you may be the best attorney in the Mississippi Delta. But we're talking about a principle of standing on principles that are right, that you got elected on, and I got elected on, and every other person in Mississippi Delta got elected on, because we could not vote. We had to try to interpret how many bubbles in a bar of soap. You happen to be a brother who got elected because the laws changed after this lynching, and you won't even bring it to a closure.
Well,
it's disgraceful.
Yeah, yeah.
It's tough.
Well, as you said, the people that put him in are the people that can take him out. So until you find the right person, I guess you're going to keep fighting that same battle.
Well, I don't know why people think it's easy standing up for principle that is right. It's not easy. Never been easy. That's why I got bullet holes in my home. That's why I've been beaten as a child, slapped around, just because I was going to school 4 months. White people did that. I've overcome that through the grace of God. That's why I knew it's a greater power watching the process. Yes, sir.
Amen. Now, excuse me, I want to do a, just really quick. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. It's the real deal, Holyfield. There's no smoking guns on our show. I mean, we keep it really, really real, very transparent, and very, very open. Our exclusive special guest today on our show is none other. He represents the 24th District of Mississippi, none other than Senator David Jordan, who has been fighting the good fight, who has been doing the good work, who has been consistent in each one of his moves. He made sure the Emmett Till Highway was put into place. He made sure that the Emmett Till apartments are there, the area where they're at. Now he's putting a statue that will be remembered, never to be forgotten, of Emmett Till in Mississippi, before Mississippi, and I can't wait to participate and be a part of it. I look forward to being there, to being in the parade, and to being with Mr. and Mrs. David Jordan and the rest of the community there to unveil this very much needed statue that will say a whole lot without saying a word at all. It will be a part of history for the rest of this existence of this world that we know as planet Earth. And that is completely, totally amazing. I'm going to go back to the senator and get some closing remarks from him. Senator, please take the floor. Whatever's on your heart about the case, whatever's on your heart about your work, please take the floor. Go right ahead, Senator David Jordan. Go right ahead. Take the floor.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you listening to our story. And we're going to be all right. But as soon as they get ready to put the statue up, then I'm going to let you know. Or stay in touch with me. You can always me from your cell phone on the Mississippi Writers. And you have my book, and you know what we're going through. But at the same time, Mississippi have more elected African Americans than any other state. But we got a problem if we are elected and don't stand on principles that are right and just for those who sent us there to do just that. And that's why I'm so maladjusted to this fear. I know it's not just luck that I'm still alive, but I think God has me here for a purpose, and I want to feel that purpose. And I want this young man to give this family closure, a case that rocked the world, not just America, the world. There were people here from all over the world. I've been all over the we built a $200 million museum in here in Jackson. I hope we'll see it when you come down. My story is in the museum. My dad's story is in the museum. We appropriate $200 million. Then we changed the flag in Mississippi. So we're moving in the right direction, but if we come to closure on the Emmett Till case, where you got the majority of the blacks in the Delta voted for this person, he want to say it's closed and he doesn't have any base. And that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
So people saying, well, if you don't, we're going to get rid of you. I wish him the best, but he got to do his duty. So pray for us, and we're going to be all right, and we're going to get this thing together, and stay in touch with me. If the Lord says so, then when we have the parade and everything, and the Emmett Till statue's up, then we want you to come down.
Thank you so very much,
and we
Senator.
All can rejoice.
Senator, I want to say thank you so
but
much.
But let me say this. Mississippi
yes,
can become an oasis. But it's
amen.
Up to us.
Amen.
We're
amen,
in
amen. Amen.
So
amen.
All we have to do is just stand up and grow some backbone and do the responsibility. That's all. That's why as an old man, I can make a lot of money doing nothing. But it's not about money. Life is about what you do for other folks, especially those who send you to make it just a little better for them. And then we renege when the going get tough and run for the tall grass. I'm not for that. I've never done it, and I never will. And I don't want to support anyone who will do that at a time like this on a case that rocked the world, not just America, the world. And here is an African-American right in that era, don't want to deal with it.
Amen,
that's
amen.
Ridiculous. Yeah. And that's where we are. Pray for us. And we'll be having a press conference soon with all elected officials from the Delta area in Greenwood.
Now Senator, before you go, Senator, we have Cousin V on the show. Cousin V, can you hear me? Cousin V, can you hear me? Cousin V, can you hear me? Okay. All right. Cousin V, can you hear me? Okay. Let's see. All right. Well, okay, we had Cousin V all the way from Texas. She said, good morning, everyone. And she's going to call in today, but she's at work. But she wanted to say hello to you, Senator. A lot of people want to say hello. Cassandra Romero on Facebook Live, Cousin V, Minister Moni Scott. You have so many. Deborah Lewis wanted to respond. We want to say hi to Deborah Lewis. Deborah Lewis, if you want to call in, dial 646-787-8064. 646-787-8064. It's right here. Call in if you want to make a statement or you want to say something. It's okay. You can call into the show right now. So many people on Facebook Live are listening to you right now and on the show itself are listening to you, Senator, right here in Los Angeles, California, and around the United States. So
yes, sir.
Just want to say in closing, I know you got to get into the Capitol, and thank you for this interview. I know you're right there, and you got to get into your office and start doing your work. But it is an honor and a pleasure beyond words to have such a distinctive, astute, intellectual, intelligent, hardworking civil rights leader, senator, councilman, father, leader, director, a mover and a shaker on our show this morning. Can we give a big hand again for Senator David Jordan? What's up, Maurice Valentine? What's up, Elaine? How are you? Let's give a big hand. Thank you so much. Maurice Valentine out there from Tennessee. Elaine from Connecticut is on the line. A lot of people are on the line here. Thank you, guys. Senator, we know you got to go. What do you want to say in closing? Because the Emmett Till case is the biggest case in the world. It was one of the biggest civil rights cases ever to be tried anywhere in the world. So, Senator, what else do you want to say in closing? I'm a lovable.
Well,
Jones, lovable.
Well, I'm just going to be redundant. The wheels of the mills turn slow, but they grind exceedingly fine. There's a greater power somewhere that watches the process. All we have to do is to stay focused. Stay focused.
Yeah.
And we're going to be all right. Mississippi may be considered as a state that has done things, but we're going to make it into an oasis. But we got to elect people with backbones. And I think we fear is something that we have to overcome. And remember what I said, in these three courthouses, where the districts are, where this person district is, nothing white in there but the walls. Black folks got every seat practically, every seat. And there's no basis for fear. If you're in control, rule it, and do it fair towards all people. Okay? That's one final biblical scripture. What does the law require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and walk humbly with our God? That's Michael. Now, how can you be elected and saw how black people been treated and not love mercy? So that's my position. I love mercy and I love my folks, but I hate no one. But I know what marks have gone through, and I know how far God has brought me, and I'm thankful that we are coming together and able to see a complete metamorphosis, a complete change in elected officials in the Mississippi Delta. And there's no excuse. Let's pray for this young man that he have a change of mind. Thank you. May God bless you, and welcome. And I enjoyed listening to people from your neck, from your area, and all over the United States. I'm a native son of the South, but I love black people, and I don't hate Caucasian or white people. But I do believe in justice and fairness and truth, because I'm the only first black city councilor in my hometown, first black senator of the Mississippi Delta from Greenwood. The floor. They wrote a book, 25 most important people in the Greenwood area, in the Mississippi Delta. They had me as one. But I didn't care that much about that. But the thing they said, we admire David Jordan, this is the white press, because he took on the white power structure to change Greenwood to a form of government where blacks could be elected. And then we went on and sued the state so more of us could be here. And then they fired me as a teacher, and I sued them. I sued everybody I had to and have no regrets of it. That's enough said, and thank you. May God bless you. And I look forward to meeting you and stay in touch. If there's anything you want to know about David Jordan, look on the Mississippi Writers, David L. Jordan, from the cotton field to the state senate. I enjoy chatting with you. And I hope you've gotten something that I've made sense to you, and pray for us. We're going to be all right. Thank you. May God bless you.
Thank you too, Senator. God bless you and have a great day. Thank you so much.
You bet. Yes, sir.
All right. Okay. All right. To everybody out there, you're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. That was our exclusive special guest, Senator David Jordan from Mississippi. And boy, what an amazing interview that was. And I just want to go to Clarence M. Allen right now. Clarence M. Allen, what did you think about that interview on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show?
Pastor Eddie Jones, you can only get this interview in the archive episode of Blog Talk Radio. Go to Eddie Jones Jr. _ Productions. After you hit the search button, you can only get it on Eddie Jones Jr. Facebook page. And my page and some other pages that I shared it on. This was a very exclusive, very important, very prominent, hot button interview with the Honorable Senator David Lee Jordan. He went into the nuts and bolts, into the crevices and the crack of what's going on inside the Emmett Till case. There were two documentaries earlier this year that one was Women of the Movement, and I can't think of the other one offhand right now, but both of them covered this Emmett Till case. And to look back what happened way back in 1955, and then here we are in 2022,
for someone to go into the archives under that courthouse or that jail and to find mm-hmm. an arrest warrant that sheriff purposely hid. He knew he had that arrest warrant at that time. And one of them to hide that, man, it just goes to show the gross intent, people who refuse to accept that when God created light, and light is a spectrum of color, and when he created man in his image to look like all the images that God wants to have created, and we see people, but for some people to live, and we have robots, internet, planes, trains, cars, artificial intelligence, all the sciences, man is going to outer space, and to some people to not to relinquish their primitive nature, you know, it is astonishing, man, that, and some of these people call themselves Christians. They'll go to church on Sunday and come out Sunday night and burn a cross in a black's yard or somebody that doesn't look like them or not of their race, creed, or culture, and burn a cross and pull them out, drag them, kill them, maim them. You look at Emmett Till, was found in the river. And I couldn't even recognize who he was till they did some tests. Man, so Pastor Eddie, to have Senator David Lee Jordan on here, man, this here covers all the news throughout the universe. Man, this was large, Pastor Eddie. Man, this show this morning, I tell you, the limo is rolling. You know, you better hope the limo stop by and pick you up. If not, be at the next stop because, Pastor Eddie, you're hitting it, man. Home runs, field goals, grand slam. You're doing it, man. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor Eddie, for having such a hot-button topic this morning.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Thank you, Brother Clarence. I want to read off Irma Lovable Jones, my first cousin down in Chicago. So I wanted to say good morning because Senator Jordan is still listening on the line. He's off the line, but he's still listening. Irma Lovable Jones said good morning to all, and thank you, Senator, for all you have done and still doing. And she said, bless you and God bless you. And she says that she's in Chicago. She doesn't live far from his home. They're going to, you know, she's going to go to the museum and visit the museum out there. So I just want to thank everybody on Facebook Live. Maurice Valentine, thank you, all the way from Tennessee. Mrs. Newell, Elaine Newell, thank you for your heart and your love. Thank you for supporting us. And Cousin Veed is going to be calling in. We have a caller in the 323-646 area code. Caller in the 323-646 area code. Are you there? Calling the 323-646. Did you want to say something? Are you there? Okay, we're going to... Hello? Okay, I'm going to put that back on hold. Okay, wait, I got another caller here. Let's see. Okay. Let's see. Okay. All right, let's see. Let's try this one more time. Caller in the 323-646 area code. Are you there? Did you want to say something? Okay, we're going to put them back on hold. Okay. Now, we were waiting on Mrs. Deborah Lewis, who lives in Mississippi by way of Chicago. We were going to have her on, but Minister Moni Scott said, awesome show, Pastor Jones. But I want to go to Professor Reams. Professor Reams, what did you think about our interview with Senator David Jordan this morning?
It was awesome. It was very timely because it reminds us that on March 2022 that President Biden signed the Emmett Till Anti-Lynching Act, which shows that the federal government, including the Justice Department, are also in sync with what is happening and what is going on in Mississippi. So with this revelation of having this warrant found means that, similar to what happened with Bill Clinton and also with Barack Obama, that should they now ask for or try to get the warrant served, that the federal government is in support of whatever needs to be done to get it going. And that's why it's still, as I was, that's why I asked the question, because I, you know, family members know the area and how well they've done and how on the back of Emmett Till's back that they've been able to get elected officials to change the way that Mississippi was. Because when you talk about old Medicine back in the day, it was almost like the heartland of everything, which was bad. And that's why my family left there, literally left in the middle of the night to get away from the KKK. So
wow.
With it now a facelift being changed over, then that's remarkable. But then, similar to what's happening, what happened in the with the district attorney for New York, Alvin Bragg, all of this time he had this information on number 45 and still didn't prosecute. The same thing with this DA. It's there, but it doesn't make any sense. Why not prosecute and do what they put you in to do? So that's why I was telling everyone that, no, there isn't a statute of limitations. Mississippi got rid of that because of the old crimes. So there's no reason why it should not happen. She could be, you could still prosecute her for murder or kidnapping, you know, or even a combination of the felony murder process, and it would still be fine because there is no statute of limitations. So
right.
To not do it is just like, look, you either push the button or you don't. And so that's a physical, mental decision not to push the button. So I'm hoping that the petition goes through and that they that when they have this, the added pressure of having elected officials banding together, the folks who voted for him banding together, maybe he will make, and of course the good Lord coming into his heart, saying that, yes, you're making a little bit of an error, but let's move it forward, because that's the reason why this is all coming up. The good Lord is saying, look, there is a part of this which still has not been resolved, so let me help you out. Here is a warning.
Right.
Do something. So that's why this is awesome. It was just fantastic, and it's very timely in light of the fact that in light of the other circumstances of people being less active, supposedly for the midterms, but now energized. This is time for more good trouble, 3 times, 10 times fold, just to make the point that we're not going back to not only 1950 or even 1850.
Yeah.
Okay? So,
wow.
Well done, Pastor Jones.
Wow, and well done. Thank you so much, Professor Reams, for that wonderful information that you just shared with us. And, you know, I don't think people know the giganticness and the enormity of the Emmett Till case. I mean, and the mother was just so intelligent and so savvy and so wise and so witty. And she was, even though it hurt her to the core, she did everything that she could to reveal opposite of what those those people were saying in those days about the Emmett Till case. I'm talking about the media, the Klans, the hate groups, and all that stuff. But she stood tall in the midst of trouble, in the midst of everything, the odds being against her, and she fought for her son, and she was a voice for Emmett Till, her son, that couldn't speak because he was dead. But she did an amazing job. A fantastic job and a terrific job. And I just want to go to James Hudson down in Texas. Do you think that Emmett Till's mother did a wonderful job on her son's case? Go right ahead, Brother James Hudson.
Well, yeah, I really do. I would totally have to agree with that. Like I said, I've been studying up on that Emmett Till. You think about that, she was a woman of faith, and it always goes back to your faith, how strong you are to endure something like that, not just to have your son taken away, but the way that he was had been taken away. But real quickly, though, Professor Rim had said something that, we're not going to go back. We're not going back, that's for sure. So the question I would actually have right now is, though, how do you look at, Brother Eddie, the difference in between what happened to Emmett Till and what's happening today? For example, what just happened with the young man Jalen that was shot 60 to 70 times. How do we as a society look at that, saying, well, wow, we can kind of understand what happened in Emmett Till during that time when you had the Ku Klux Klan and racism was running just wild. But today, how do we look at that? How do we look at that and say, well, what's the big difference between what happened in Emmett Till, and we can all see how terrible that was, and then we look at what's happening today on our turf, where a young man can get shot 70, 60 times, and so what's the difference there?
You know, James, it's so amazingly touching to me that I was about to bring that up. That was going to be one of our subjects to add on to the Emmett Till case. When I think about Sandra Bland, when I think about Michael Brown, when I think about all the shootings that have taken place and all the biasness and the racism that has raised its head since T-Rump has been put in office, and even with them pulling the coup on the United States of America, it's still a terrible day in America when a young man like Jaylen, who was 25 years old, he was an Uber driver minding his own business. It was stated to me that he didn't want to pull over because he was afraid. I just watched a video the other day of a police officer going to a young man's house. The young man had his own apartment. The police officer walked up to the door, pushed his way into the door. And the whole time the young man was saying, "Officer, what did I do? Why are you doing this to me?" The officer put him on his own couch. He's choking him, trying to arrest him for no reason. And then the neighbors finally came over with the cameras, and they're going, "Why are you harassing this young man? What did he do? Why are you all over him with your hand on his neck?" And, you know, we still have to go through these trials and tribulations, and we should not. And until we address the Supreme Court, until we go through the Ninth Circuit Court to the Supreme Court and put this into the Supreme Court, nothing is going to change. Change only comes, Brother Hudson, when we, like the way you're doing down there in Texas and the way we do what we do, we need to get together, put together a bill, and we need to go to the Supreme Court and sue the United States of America. We have to sue the United States of America to stop racism in America against African Americans. We should no longer ever tolerate these type of activities. Especially, we should have a video of every shooting and every black person that has been killed, up from Rodney King all the way up, and we should need to show that to the Supreme Court and let them have some empathy and some sympathy, and then make some changes on the laws that face African American men and women. Because killing Jaylen is like killing off a seed. They have stopped the growth of another young black man. Killing Michael Brown with his hands up in the air, killing off our seed, killing off Sandra Bland. They're killing off our seed. They know what they're doing. They're doing it intentionally. And until we make these officers pay, until we make these groups pay, nothing is going to change. And the only way changes come, like just like Senator Jordan said, when we stand up, when we sue them, when we sue the United States of America, that's when they open their eyes and we start messing with them by suing them. And I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about for changes in policies and procedures on how things are done in America. We need to send a message to the whole wide world, not just the United States, but the whole wide world. We are not going to stand. I don't just want to march anymore. I want documentation. I don't want to hold up a sign anymore. I don't want to walk down the march from here to there. In this time, it was good. But this time now, we need to do something about it. And if we don't do nothing, nothing from nothing leaves nothing. And either we're going to stand for something or we're going to fall for anything. And I just want to get your response to that. Wait, hold on. We got some callers calling in. Hold on. Okay. Caller in the 936-635, Cousin V. Welcome to the show, Cousin V. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. I'm at work today, so I'm calling in. I'm on a break.
Amen. Everybody say good morning. Good morning. Good morning to Cousin V.
Good morning, Cousin V.
Cousin V.
Good morning, everyone.
Cousin V.
Good morning.
And without further ado, everybody say good morning to Aretha Adams Jones. Good morning, Aretha Adams Jones. How are you? Everybody say good morning.
Good morning.
Dr. Aretha. Yes.
It's such an honor and a pleasure to have you two ladies to join our show. You know, our co-producer, Cousin V, our co-host, Aretha Adams Jones, with Mental Health and You, and we're getting ready to go right into our segments. But before we go into our segments, I wanted to, Brother James Hudson, what did you think about what I said about suing, going to the Supreme Court and suing the United States of America? Wanted to get your opinion on that.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's no doubt about it. Like you said, it's great that we get out and we march and all this stuff, but until we can put that into paper, into legislation to make them pay, you know, there's got to be some consequences for all these shootings. And like you said, that's exactly what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. Since the George Floyd situation, I think they've gotten even worse. It's like they're retaliating, and that's how come you see when somebody gets shot, there's multiple times. There's not very few times that the person just gets shot once or twice. You know, they have multiple times. They're making a statement and every time you get a conviction of an officer or whatever, it gets even worse. Because those all across the country, that's what they're doing. It's a brotherhood. So they are making these statements. That's what they're saying. Okay, you take one of us down, two down, we're going to take 100 of you guys down. And we're going to take it down in dramatic fashion. And that's what they're doing. It's right in your face. What can you do about it? Because like you said, if the DAs and if the DA and the sheriff department, none of these people, you're presenting them with these facts and all of this evidence, but yet they still can't come up with a conviction. So what do you do to that? Like you said, you have to go over the top of their heads and hit them where it hurts, hit them in their pocketbook by suing them. So I totally agree with that. But we've got to wake up to see what's happening. The Jalen guy that got shot up there 60 times, we just had a Jalen get shot here about 6 weeks ago here in Houston, and you could hear the officer on his phone over the radio saying that this young man is not going to make it out of this neighborhood. And as soon as he stopped outside the car, the officer shot him. So that's a big thing that's happening in Houston right now. It's just amazing what these people can just do and get away with it, because I keep saying, you know, as long as you have the police, we're not going to get anywhere in these courthouses and stuff like that. You're not going to get anywhere. That's why they stack the courts with these type of people that they want in there, regardless of how much evidence you have, regardless of all the facts that you may have. If that judge says innocent, that's just the bottom line. And so, you know, it doesn't matter. What do you do about these officers? They protect them whether they are right, wrong, innocent, or guilty. That's where the system is built. That's the way that they built the system. And that's why you can't get any type of conviction, because the system itself is going to fail you every single time. And that's why come they think that they can just get away with doing just, you know, shooting somebody 60 times. I mean, you know, who in their right mind even, you know, I think that should outrage every American that has a conscience that you want to shoot a man up. Why do you have to do that? I mean, come on, man. Well, I mean, what is that all about? That's them just thinking, you know, you might be able to take down one cop, but you're not going to take down 10 of us if we all shoot. We all felt like he was a threat to us, because that's the first thing that they're going to say. Oh, I was fearing for my life. Well, we need everybody to shoot so that we can all say we were fearing for our life. Because if just one of us shoot, they're going to say, well, why come the rest of them didn't shoot? If you see, that's how that game is being played. And so, and once
well,
you start
you
learning
know, brother,
the system, you'll see it.
You know, Brother James, I want to thank you so much in the essence of time. Don't go anywhere, Brother James. We really appreciate your statement, and it's very on time. And very important that the listeners hear exactly how we're feeling. Off the show, I'm going to call you, because it's time for us to galvanize together and start figuring out how we can sue the United States of America. And that's the bottom line. I want to shout out Irma Lovable Jones, my cousin. She said, beautiful show, Cousin Eddie. I've enjoyed the entire show. We need more and less of this gossip junk with politics. And that she loves the show and everything. We love you too down there in Chicago, in Chi-Town. Shout out to Chicago and all my family out there. But without further ado, it is time to make a change. We're going to start off with the sports report. Then we're going to go to words. I'm going to shout out Tawana Jones. I want to shout out Melanie Aubrey. I want to shout out everybody, Vera Jones, the ones that are co-producers that are not here on the show today. Shout you all out. Monica Smith, God bless you. And God bless all the people on the show. But let's go to Cousin V. Cousin V, please take the floor. Give us the sports report. Go right ahead.
So I'm going to start off today with the bowling. They had the PBA. Portland Lumberjacks defeated the Dallas Strikers 3-2. And Norm Duke, he's retiring from bowling. And so they had a celebration for him, but they ended up beating him, and he played for the Lumberjacks. Then in boxing, we have Pascal and Alvarez beat Pascal in a major decision after round 12 of 12. So they went a total of 12 rounds. And then in tennis, we had the Wimbledon, which was June 27th through July 7th. And Elena Rybakina from Russia won the women's single, and Djokovic beat Kyrgios in the men's single. And then in soccer, we had the FC Dallas and the Houston Dynamo, and they played this week, and they tied, so we had two Texas teams. And then in the USFL, we had the championship. It was an inaugural championship on July the 4th, and the Birmingham Stallions beat the Philly Stars 33-30. And then in baseball, on Saturday and Sunday, we had the Dodgers beat the Cubs 11-9. Astros beat the Athletics 6-1. The Twins beat the Rangers 6-5. And the Marlins lost to the Mets 5-4. The Angels lost to the Orioles 1-0. And then they had two golf tournaments this weekend. They had the Scottish Open at the Renaissance Club. It was an $8 million purse. And Schoffer won first place. We had three Americans win. It was Kit Yama, J.H. Kim, Fleetwood was fourth, and Cantley was fifth. And then they also had the Barbasol Championship July 7th through the 10th. It was a $3 million purse at King Trace Golf Club. First place was Mullenix, and then Streelman. Hubbard was third, Long fourth, and Whaley was fifth. And we had four Americans win that championship. And then this next week will be called the Old Course. I mean, the 50th. It's called the Open, but this is going to be the 150th Open called an Old Course Golf Course. The purse is going to be like one of the highest. It's going to be $14 million purse. Tiger Woods had been practicing this weekend. On Saturday, he didn't practice as much, but they said he was able to complete 18 holes on yesterday. So tune in, look for Tiger Woods at the 150th Open, and it starts on this Thursday, July 14th through the 17th. This is my sports report, and y'all have a blessed week. And I just
want to
go to Dr. Aretha. Thank Dr. Aretha for coming on, because she makes my Monday. I have to listen, because she always say happy Monday, and we need that, because this morning was a hard morning for me. The tears were just rolling. So I just want to thank her and Clarence for when they come on, they always just light up my day.
Oh, God bless you.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Well, without further ado, it is time for Mental Health and You. Mental Health and You, Aretha Adams Jones, affectionately known as Dr. Aretha Adams Jones, please take the floor. Give us Mental Health and You.
Amen. Good morning. Happy Monday. I would like to say that I praise God from whom all blessings flow, and I would like to acknowledge Pastor Eddie and my the co-host and all of the guests. And I just want you to know that July is National Minority Mental Health Awareness Month. And I'm reading this little blurb from Community Health of Central Washington. And it says, each year, millions of Americans face the reality of living with a mental health condition. Mental health conditions do not discriminate based on race, color, gender, or identity. Anyone can experience the challenges of mental illness regardless of their background. However, background and identity can make access to mental health treatment much more difficult. National Minority Mental Health Awareness Month is observed each July to bring awareness to the unique struggles that racial and ethnic minority communities face regarding mental illness in the United States. And just remember, mental health matters, and it's time to remove the stigma. God bless you.
Amen, Aretha. All right. Thank you, Aretha. Thank you, Aretha.
You're
that
welcome.
That was beautiful. That's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice
That's
Jones
it,
Radio
Dr.
Talk
Aretha.
Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights. And without further ado, it's time for Clarence and Madeline to regulate the manual. Felita Wills, thank you for the hands. Felita Wills gave you a big hand, Dr. Aretha. Go right ahead, Clarence and Madeline, take the floor. Regulate the manual.
To all our special guests, thank you to all our listeners especially who come to this show, who get information, something that we all need to know, something that we all can apply to our life to make us a better person as we move along. And we was talking generally about racism, the atrocities of it, the documents that were found for the arrest warrant under the jail down in Mississippi for the woman who instigated the murder of Emmett Till. And so I wanted to find something that maybe could relate to our hot topic this morning, why did she lie, and all the ramifications that followed it. And so to the white men, white boys, Anglo-Saxons, and all the rest of the Caucasoids who are out there, stand up and allow yourself and your people to get some recognition. There's been a lot of things that has been under suspicion for far too long. This is for those who are skinheads, those of the Aryan nation, white inferiors, Nazis, and all the other who racially hate other ethnicities and people of color. We all know that black being the prime color of choice to display the hatreds, there are many who really wish that blacks were totally eradicated from the face of the earth. So to every white person who is a racist, this may concern you. Tell all of your members to go out and buy their own copy of Regulate, because it's going to get white racial. In today's world, the machines have risen. So in regard to the many ways things work, it does not call for the white man to stand directly on top of the back to get the work completed. But in reality of it all, there are always ways to continue with the slave labor to help keep the cost down and to cut corners. The time has come, and the times are now, and at hand for you all to reap your reward. There are those of you who know who they are. Am I talking about you? For what you have sown. For some of the times have caught up with many of them. For others, the times will soon run out for all of you running around playing the racist. In due season, the rest of the races will start to fall like a snowball rolling down the side of a snow-covered hill. You catch my drift. There's only one regulator who is tried and true. This regulator is very patient and long-suffering. Can this be why there are many who do not carry that smell of fear and tremble? Maybe your heaven is right here on earth. I know that you will continue to do your racist schemes and tactics. Have all of your fun when you can handle and while you can. For your father must be the king of the double cross. There are many who will continue with their racist lies until the end. After Regulate, there may be some who will realize the truth. Remember this. And please do not forget, it was the stroke of midnight that Cinderella had lost her shoe.
Can you imagine what would happen to your shoes at the stroke of your midnight? I'm going to stop right there, and you can continue. This book is a book of its own, regulatethemanual.com. This book is written. Have a wonderful week because you are in here.
All right, let's give Brother Clarence a big hand. Brother Clarence and Young. All right. Yeah, I like that, man. That's how you regulate it right there. That's how you tell somebody about the goodness of regulation, especially when we have to deal with the Emmett Till cases, which is one of the biggest cases in the entire world. What an honor to have on Senator David Jordan, representative of the 24th District of Mississippi. And I can't wait to be there in Mississippi at the unveiling. Thank you, Felita Wills, for your hands. And send a shout-out to Pastor Charles from us over here at the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. I can't wait to be at the unveiling of that statue in Mississippi. I just can't wait. It's going to be an honor and a pleasure, and it's going to be something super, super big and historical. But without further ado, it's time for one of the most important parts of this show, and that's called The Commentary by Professor Reams. Without further ado, Professor Reams, please take the floor. Give us the commentary.
Yes, thank you so much, Pastor Jones. Once again, an excellent show. We've had our dose of the real deal, Holyfield, and also this sets us up for staying engaged and staying active and staying in good trouble, as John Lewis and also Senator David Jordan reminds us to do. So I'm going to go through my thank yous, and then we'll get into the commentary. So thank you so much, Pastor Jones. Once again, an excellent, excellent show, which is very timely, as I mentioned earlier. Cousin V, shout out. Great having you on the show. And thank you for sharing us what's going on with the sports. Clarence Allen, the regulator, our prophet, thank you for those wonderful words from Regulate the Manual. And that is, of course, a major read as we move on with our activism and social justice work. Shout out to Dr. Granny B, Vera Jones, to Talana Jones, Words of Wisdom. Thank you, Dr. Aretha, for reminding us of National Minority Mental Health and Conditioning for this month. And definitely it'll be a wonderful reminder to make sure that mental health matters and we should take the stigma away from it. To Melanie Aubrey, a shout out. And to our poet of Poetry in Motion, Linda Goldie, thank you. Thank you so much, along with Prophetess Monica, our prophet. So, and moving forward, we have had Senator David Jordan as our guest, and we also had James Hudson as our guest as well, and they have shown the courage and the pivotalness that is where we stand today. So let's go back on what had happened. Understand that this, the Emmett Till case, 67 years, 1955, it took this long to find some sort of resolution honoring of which then Senator David Jordan has mentioned that since that time, it wasn't a case that just went away. Through the good Lord and working through Senator Jordan and the Till family, they've managed to expand it to have a complexes, a highway, and a statue, along with never, ever, ever letting people forget the importance of this. And this is the rallying call that has inspired Rosa Parks, our own James Hudson, our own Pastor Eddie Jones, and the rest of us to continue on with social justice. So Emmett Till, we are standing on the back and also of this incident and of this giant because of the way that it was done. And it was, and to remind us, Emmett's mother, Mrs. Till, provided the gateway to opening this up and not letting it just go away by the wayside. And from that, we have seen how James Hudson had done the same thing with his cases by having a play about the issues that are going on, by putting it in the media, by working with elected officials, by rallying up the people to make sure that this Till never died to address this problem. Because, again, we started on this journey with the Lord saying that it's going to be interesting, it's going to have its challenges, but follow me, because it will have its levels of joy. So when those joyful moments come up, like with the signing of the March 2022 Anti-Lynching Act and the fact that now the Lord was able to identify a warrant to show that, no, you're not done with this issue. This issue has not been resolved as I see it. This is how it has to go for full circle to have full closure. This means that, as always, this reminds us is that you cannot hide from the good Lord. He's going to persevere. He's going to push. He's going to bring it because, of fact, he is patient, forgiving, and loving, but his patience, do never, never, never underestimate it, because it didn't matter whether it was 1 year or 67 years later, justice was going to be served in the Lord's eye. So, and now we're in a position where 75% of the constituents are able to make a difference. And this brings us back to what the wonderful senator said, that Mississippi can be and become an oasis, but it is up to us. And so in getting in good trouble, I definitely would imagine that those politicians, the people, and everyone involved is going to be raising some good trouble, you know, along with our own Pastor Jones and all of us, or whatever fund they have, to make sure that there is proper closure as the battle cry to what we have to do moving to the midterms, so that, as he mentioned, the United States can become an oasis. But it is up to us to be on the front line getting into good trouble. So that's why we have to stay loving, kind, forgiving, and patient as we go through this journey, because the good Lord has already put that goal out there. We have it within ourselves to do it. We just have to do it. And with that, that's my commentary.
For the commentary, Professor Reams with the commentary. Thank you so much, Professor Reams. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Now we, well, without further ado, I just want to get some closing remarks. We have a little time. Mr. James Hudson, please give us your closing remarks. Your closing remarks.
Well, again, my friend, I'm really glad I was able to get on and to hear the program this morning. And I'm always trying to educate myself, and I know that there are a lot of people out there that are working for justice all throughout this land. We're all dealing with different issues, but we're all working for the same thing, man, equal justice for all. That's what we're all about. We're not excluding anybody. I want justice for black people, white people, justice for all is what we're actually fighting for. I want you guys to know that, as you said, you know, fighting for justice, you pay a price. Your special guest talked about that. You pay a price for standing up, for being bold, for fighting. You've got the police listening to everything we're saying right now on this phone, right now. You know that my situation with dealing with the fighting for justice for Joshua Johnson here in Houston, Texas, and what the DA's office has told me, that they monitor everything that I do. And I know my phones are tapped, and that means that they're sitting here listening to everything that you're saying, that I'm saying. So these people, you always got these people at work. Those that are fighting, you know, they wear those badges and say that they have integrity and that they have the courage and all that great stuff. But a lot of people put those badges on for the wrong reason, and that's what we're fighting against. We were not fighting against those officers that actually put those badges on for the right reason and go out there to protect their communities who really and truly do have courage and integrity. We're fighting against the evil forces, but as Professor Rim says, may not come when we want him to, but God is always on time. And that's what he constantly reminds me of. Vengeance is mine, James. Vengeance is mine. If you go, I will be with you, but vengeance is mine. And you may not see God taking out his vengeance on all this evil stuff that takes place, but eventually it happens because the Spirit of God cannot lie. And that's what gives me confidence to walk out my door when I've been threatened and all this stuff, when he says, I am with you and vengeance belongs to me. You may not see me dealing with your enemies, but that don't mean that I'm not going to deal with them, you know, because those people eventually have to answer to the Spirit of God. So I just want you guys to know the fight that we're fighting, we're not alone. We are not alone in this fight. God is with us. And he's the one that gives us that courage to do what we're doing with all this evil seen and unforeseen. That long as you know that the Spirit of God is with you, you are doing what's right. So I'm keep praying for you guys. I get so encouraged listening to your show with the people that I see that are out there fighting these battles on all fronts. And we have to continue to do that. That's what we have to continue to do. So God bless you guys, and I thank you so much for allowing me to speak. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Brother James. We appreciate you, Brother James. Cousin, without further ado, Cousin V, give us your closing remarks, Cousin V, all the way out there in Texas. Give us your closing remarks.
I just want to say that it was a great show, and like I always tell Clarence, to regulate the manual is prophetic. It is what happens right now, even though he wrote it years ago. And, of course, we love Professor Reams and the commentary. And I already told Dr. Aretha and Ms. Linda, I love everyone. Have a blessed week.
Okay, praise the Lord. Aretha Adams-Jones, give us your closing remarks.
All right. I just wanted you all to know that it's just important for us to stay focused and don't go back to business as usual. Continue to fight the fight, and just, you know, these injustices are wrong and we need to stand up. So we're going to continue to fight the fight and continue to look to the Lord, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And I just want to tell all my co-hosts to stay encouraged, and to Cousin V, we love you so much and we are with you. We stand with you. And we are keeping you lifted in prayer. God bless you, dear.
Amen. Praise God. Without further ado, Brother Clarence, give us your closing remarks.
Yes, first, giving thanks to God.
Wait, hold on.
This morning.
Okay, go right ahead. Give us your closing remarks, Clarence.
Yes, once again, I'm thankful and giving glory to God for everything, you know, for the show, for you, Pastor Eddie, for our special guests, especially to all our listeners, to the co-panelists on this show. I'm thankful for this subject matter this morning, this hot topic that is so vital, so important for all of us to hear and listen. I thank God for those who recognize what this book that I've written is about, what it can do for others as far as relating to all of our issues and our life experiences, and for many of the solutions that we can get through and find peace in our life, because violence is the modern dance of the day. Hate is the modern dance for the day. Evil is the modern dance for the day. But thank God for those who uphold the good and the goodness of this life, who protect us from all hurt, harm, and dangers that walk across this land. So everybody, we are created for anything that comes before us. So don't hesitate for that challenge, for that situation, or that circumstance. Do your fast, your prayer, and go to work on it and just fix it. Thank you, Pastor Eddie, once again. I love everybody. Thank you to all our listeners. Be sure to tune in next Monday morning, because if you thought this show was hot, it's Monday. Thank you.
Amen, amen, amen. Professor Reams, give us your closing remarks, Professor Reams.
Well, I always say, always trust in the Lord, because he'll never let you down. And that's why, as James Hutchins mentioned, yeah, you know, like he said, he comes at his time, which is always on time. So with that, have a wonderful, blessed rest of the day and a blessed week. I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Amen. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. I want to leave you with this. Today we had a historical Superman on our show today. We had a man who's been fighting for justice and still fighting for justice. None other is Senator David Jordan. It was an honor and a pleasure beyond words to hear the history, how he talked about Rosa Parks, Medgar Evers, Dr. King. He actually worked with all these people who helped pave the way for us to be where we are today, and he is still paving the way. And now he's working on a big project to unveil a statue of Emmett Till, which is very long overdue. I will remember, never to forget, this historical moment in time with an interview that is archived that I'm going to share on my Facebook page, my Instagram page, my Twitter page, and all of my social media. I want to thank God for all the people who came on, and I do love everybody, and I tell you every week I love you. But here's what I always tell you. Remember, don't let nothing and nobody steal your joy. Don't let nothing and nobody steal your joy. Remember that the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. But remember this in closing. The only limit in life is the one you put on yourself. So let there be no limits. The skies are the limit. As long as you look up to God, there's nothing that you can't do. Now, I want you to remember, never to forget, we serve an on-time God. He don't come exactly when you want him to, but he's always right on time. Now, here's the real question. The real question is, what's going on? That's the real question on our show today. I love you all, everybody on Facebook Live. I love you, everybody on Blog Talk Radio. I love you, and everybody that called in on the 646-787-8064. I love you, too. Have a wonderful, beautiful Monday, and the best is yet to come. Amen. Praise the Lord. And here's the question again. The question is, what's going on? So let's go.
Hey,
what's going on?
Don't punish me with brutality.
Come on.